It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
The Mets acquired outfielder Jose Siri from the Tampa Bay Rays. Earlier this year, Jose Siri and the Yankees had some issues where Siri hit a home run and did like this very slow home run trot. And Aaron Judge was like yelling at him, hey, keep moving. And then Juan Soto hit a home run later and then really pimped the home run and took forever to get around the bases.
That's right.
And after the game, Soto was saying, look, I don't know what Jose Siri was doing. For me, though, the weather was very hot. It's a tough day. I'm trying to save the hammies on why he took forever.
Why would Soto want to play with a guy like that?
That's why I brought this up. Like, now the new thing that people will cling to, and by people I mean Sean Morash, is that the acquisition of Jose Siri will lead Juan Soto to not wanting to play for the New York Mets. So there you go.
I can see that.
Can you see that?
Yes.
I got 700 million reasons why that will not matter.
Okay. Well, the Yankees have 705 million more.
Will they offer it, though?
Yeah, of course they will.
We will find out. Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. Joe Douglas was dismissed today as the Jets general manager, and I'm here to give you, in my opinion, the five worst Joe Douglas decisions of his Jets tenure.
Oh, there's a good one. A lot of pressure to get this one right, Sean.
Uh-huh.
No, there's no pressure.
I think so. Joe Douglas was fired about 6 hours ago. It is still fresh news. There is somebody who just got in their car and found out Joe Douglas was fired for the very first time, and now you're going to give them the definitive list of mistakes Joe Douglas made.
Hello, Joe B, by the way.
So get it right, bro.
All right, here we go.
Number five.
Rolling into 2023 with just Zach Wilson as a viable backup to Aaron Rodgers.
Amen. That's a big one.
Huge.
That's a huge one. That could be, you know what, I'll tell you this. That could be number one or two.
Yeah.
By backup for Aaron Rodgers,
who
you said,
else
right?
Was on Who else was there?
Tim Boyle?
They let Mike go to Miami.
Mike White.
Went to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Tim Boyle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Tim Boyle, by the way, if you're just in your car now, a member of the New York Giants.
Oh, here that's we go. True.
Number four.
The Hassan Reddick trade with no contract in place and allowing that to leak into the season. It killed a lot of vibes early in the year for the Jets.
That's a mistake. That is not ahead of not having a backup for Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That's an egregious miss you just made already.
Evan, their defensive front took an enormous hit this year to let other guys walk.
Okay.
Their big crown jewel this offseason was trading for Reddick, and they allowed that to materialize into the year.
Right, keep going.
We debated whether or not he actually did that.
Right, well.
Because apparently he lost some of his power. Right. So is that like a last-ditch effort to do something meaningful?
Mm. Especially after they lost Bryce Huff. Remember, they let Bryce Huff go in free agency. He's not had a great year in Philadelphia. Yeah. And the reaction was, let's go trade for Hassan Reddick.
Right. Bryce Huff is exactly what the Jets thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what it turned out to be.
Yeah. Overrated. Here we go.
Number three.
Oh, but Howie Roseman's a genius. Number three is hiring Robert Saleh in the same coaching circle where Dan Campbell was available.
Wow, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. It's a tough one because Like, Robert Saleh was regarded as the hire of that offseason. And right. that's before the Jets even hired
when
him.
When you think about it, just comparatively.
Oh, it's not even close.
It's the culture even, that Campbell has built.
Immediately, you felt it, even though they had a losing season.
Yeah, they had a bad first year there.
Right.
But 3-13?
I think so.
The Lions? Yeah.
His first year, and then immediately they won.
I'm just saying that if
ownership
you go,
gave some patience.
If you go back to that time, by the way, ownership patience is not an issue with this current regime. Joe Douglas was in his sixth year.
Right.
And even Robert Saleh before that, a few years before that, Todd Bowles.
This was like, his fourth year.
Yeah. It's not, I know you said that about positively towards Detroit. I don't think that's actually been the Jets' biggest issue.
By the way, that was
they waited a long time with some of these guys.
I want to make this clear. That was not a Jet issue. That was just a wink, wink, let's calm down on firing Dable and Shane on my side of the...
I got you. But this thing goes about the Jets, not about the Giants. So maybe you should stay focused. Anyhow, go ahead.
Such a hater.
I mean, I'm not a
number
hater.
Two.
I'm keeping him centered.
Okay. I'm going to keep my thoughts to myself. Number two is Mekhi Becton.
Oh, God.
That first round pick. Bro. Just to let you know, two picks after Becton was taken, the Bucs took Tristan Wirfs.
It's not just how bad the Mekhi Becton...
loves these moves.
It's not just how bad the Mekhi Becton pick was. He's 2020 right was his first draft Joe Douglas ever had with the New York Jets. If you go up and down it, it is a walking, talking, breathing disaster. Can I read the names for you? Would you guys like to hear
it? Go ahead, sure.
Mekhi Becton, 11th overall. Second round pick, Denzel Mims.
Ugh.
Third round pick, Ashton Davis, who somehow is still around. Not a star.
Yeah.
You want to call him a useful little player? Fine. Third round pick, Jabari Zuniga. Fourth round pick, LaMichael Perron. No, fourth round pick. This is the one I freaked out about on the air. James Morgan, the quarterback.
From JMU?
Yeah. he was from Florida International.
Oh, God.
His name is James Morgan.
Oh, God.
I know. He sounds like a college.
Right.
He's not. Cameron Clark. I mean, that was an abysmal draft. All time. I mean, freaking time.
Who? I mean, Davis is still here. Right?
Ashton Davis is the only guy still here.
Wow.
Bad draft.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And by the way, he is... Mekhi Becton?
Yeah.
He's actually a pretty decent guard.
Well, I think
always happens to these linemen
right.
in New York.
Look, you're thinking of Eric Flowers. It was the same thing. But I agree with you now. His draft in 2021 was so good when you look up and down it. Mm-hmm. Even now, like Jamie and Sherwood in the fifth round.
Right.
Who's still now a good pick.
Who has to be your starting linebacker because CJ Mosley is shot.
Right. And Sherwood is a hell of a lot faster and is a better player.
He is.
Actually got Jason Pinnock in that fifth round. Now he's on the Giants.
Yeah.
But obviously the top of it is bad because of Zach Wilson, but there were some good picks mixed in there. And then obviously the 2022 draft is all-time great. Anyhow, I'm sorry. Keep going.
Here we go.
Number one.
And it's Zach Wilson, second overall. Every GM should have the opportunity to swing a QB, but when you miss, it's obviously the worst. The Jets are still paying the price. By the way, I'll give him a pass on this. Maybe Justin Fields could have been the pick, maybe, but there was no other real good quarterbacks in that draft as we found out. But Penei Sewell, Jamar Chase, even Micah Parsons went after that.
It wouldn't have mattered because they didn't have the infrastructure to groom a kid, a quarterback.
So in hindsight, should they have taken somebody else and waited on the quarterback for the next year?
No, because they had the right plan in place. It just, when Greg Knapp passed away, it just changed.
Right.
It is unfortunate. It sucked.
Well, the other option, you say waiting on the next quarterback, the other option, and it was discussed, was not taking Zach Wilson and running it back with Sam Darnold and trying to give him better weapons and trying to make it work, even though you're talking about a brand new coaching staff. And I think that was the idea. I mean, Kyle Pitts and Jamar Chase and Jalen Waddle were taken briefly after that.
Yeah.
If you pick, let's say, Jamar Chase instead of Zach Wilson.
Wow.
I mean, think about that for a second. And Sam Darnold's your quarterback, and you're just saying, look, Sam, we really haven't given you talent over the years. We're going to try it again.
Right.
What happened?
Who was his best wide receiver before?
Oh, my God. Robbie Anderson? Chosen Anderson?
Wow. Yeah. Who went to Carolina with Sam after that?
I mean, honestly, if you look.
So that's an example of thinking you need to replace a guy who the fan base hates.
Right.
And not because he was still on his rookie deal. Right?
Yes, they could have brought him back.
It was the fourth year of his last, and then they shipped him down to Carolina. But let him play it out.
Yeah,
and then draft your quarterback.
I think looking back on it, that would have been the best plan because one of the things that Sam fell victim to while he was here was he had literally no talent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you asked a great question. You said, who was his best receiver? I went back to 2019 and said, all right, let me look at the stats from that season. That was a year where Sam started 13 games. And by the way, went 7-6. 19 touchdowns, right. 13 picks. Not terrible. Who did he target more than?
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on.
The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Anybody else? Who led the team in receptions? The answer is Jamison Crowder.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
His number
that
two,
tells you all you need to know.
His number two is Robbie Anderson. And then Demaryius Thomas.
And this was Gase, too.
This was Adam Gase.
Who admittedly failed him.
Yeah, and they won 7 games. And by the way, they were 31st in points, so it's not like they were successful.
Right.
They were 31st in points, but they won 7 games, and Sam Darnold had nothing. Like, Zach Wilson had a hell of a lot more talent than Sam Darnold did. Mm. So, looking back on the mistakes of Joe Douglas,
I wonder why he became enamored. I wonder if it was the, because you remember the pro day stuff from Zach where he was making all these
crazy throws,
running to his left, throwing across his body. And I never really impressed by those things because you're in your underwear. If you're not playing football in football pads, I don't give a crap what you do, what you look like, because it doesn't matter.
Right.
You don't play the game that way. You know what I mean? So I wonder why they got so enamored with Zach Wilson.
My theory, not about why they were enamored with Zach, I think that's probably it. But I think they felt the pressure. And credit to Joe Shane. He hasn't done this yet. Maybe this is to blame. I think he felt he needed to draft his own quarterback.
Right.
I think Joe Douglas was feeling the heat of, okay, we have the number two overall pick. We didn't get Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
I need my guy. He inherited Sam Darnold from the Mike Maccagnan era. And that's the mistake sometimes GMs make, where they feel the pressure to draft their own quarterback,
right,
even if that guy's not the right answer.
But it's almost more prudent to wait until you find the right one.
Of course.
But you can't tell me Zach was the right one. Well,
so did they draft him out of the necessity of, we're picking number two, I inherited this guy in Sam Darnold, I just need my own guy? Or did they actually believe in Zach Wilson? Because you're right, and I think you're actually accurate with your list, that the biggest mistake Joe Douglas made was Zach Wilson.
Right, yeah, because it set you back half a decade.
Of course, and it forced you to be in the position to have to go desperate and try to get Aaron Rodgers.
And this is, I think, also starts with ownership problem in the NFL, too. The pressure that you are on to find a quarterback. Because think about this. If you wait some Zach Wilson, I'm thinking in my own head, the next year's the Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis. Like, what are the Jets doing if Darnold fails again that year?
You're right. No, and it's funny you say. I was just thinking
the same
thing.
They probably take Kenny Pickett the next year, and they're screwed anyway.
Or you're doing the veteran quarterback thing. And I don't remember who was available going into that year.
There have been a lot of drafts without good quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But that's why I don't fault GMs for taking a swing, because you're under so much pressure to get it right.
And if there's just not a bunch of good quarterbacks.
But so what you're saying makes sense. Hey, if you don't believe in a guy, don't take him. Keep kicking the can down the road.
Absolutely not.
But you only have so many years of being mediocre if you lose job.
Here's the comparison.
That's when your pro scouts have to go find the upcoming free agent.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go find your bridge veteran, whoever that is.
But
even if that bridge is 2 years, or like Baker Mayfield, who was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' bridge after Tom Brady, and they signed him to a, whatever it is, $30-something million-a-year contract. And he's actually pretty good. He's leading the NFL in touchdown passes.
Or do what we were saying before. And by the way, the Bills are another example of this. They found Tyrod Taylor. He broke their playoff curse.
Right.
Find a guy who could stabilize your organization and gives you some breathing room for when that quarterback materializes.
That's all fair and game. And I think in Joe Douglas's case, he could have done that. because this was only his second draft. Right. Remember, 2021 was his second draft, so it was still early enough on where if you didn't believe in the quarterback, you didn't have to take one. That's the problem that you guys are in with the Giants, because now this is going to be the fourth year of Joe Shane. I think they're going to feel a pressure to take a quarterback, even if they don't believe in the quarterback. And you're right, that's the worst place to be in.
I think there's two that are worth it, Cam and Shador. The question is going to be, how do you get there if Tommy DeVito wins some games?
Right.
And that's just going to entail giving up future draft picks.
But sometimes you
future
don't have the
first round draft picks.
But sometimes you don't have the option to bring it back to Douglas. Let's say he figured it's just Trevor Lawrence. Kind of like what you're saying about this draft. Right. It's two guys. Maybe he thought it's just Trevor Lawrence. Well, they were tanking. They accidentally won a few games. They didn't get the number one overall pick. Mm. And there was no world where Jacksonville was trading that pick. So what do you do?
Right.
And the Giants very well could be in that spot where there are two teams picking one and two, and they have zero interest in trading the quarterback. Zero interest. And what do? Like, you're in that spot where either you're drafting someone you don't truly believe in, or you're kicking the can again down the road and not taking a quarterback.
And the more you kick, the more you may not be back either. You're right. Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Right.
All right, overall,
eventually
good
you get judged on not having a quarterback.
Of course. That's what did in Joe Douglas.
Also, honorable mention that I had to cross out Carl Lawson getting $30 million guaranteed.
Yes.
Another doozy from Joe.
Oh, trust me, there's plenty of those in there.
Wasn't there a moment, I don't know if it was on this, maybe it was with BT, where I said, Carl Lawson, he's going to get cut.
Mm.
And people looked at me like,
it was here last year.
Right. People were talking to me like, what are you, stupid? They just gave him, I'm like, all right, all I got to do is look at the draft. I don't have to care about Carl Lawson. All I got to do is look what they did in the draft. He was being replaced every single draft.
Right, right.
So why the hell was Carl Lawson? What was his point?
Yeah.
So that's a good one. Because I remember saying Carl Lawson's days are numbered as a Jet, and nobody wanted to believe me. They thought he was the next great whatever.
He wasn't.
Yeah. Carl Lawson wasn't awesome.
He got drafted over.
Now they moved on very quickly. Thank you very much, Sean. Let's go to Steve in New Jersey. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, man?
Tremendous.
Hey, Evan, love the passion. Tiki, love the methodical thought process. Hey, got this idea I actually read about, how do we change the Jets. I want to get your thoughts in. How do we get Curtis Martin involved with the Jets, let him become president, part ownership, change the culture, impact the GM hiring, and change that from the top so that we can get something similar to a Pittsburgh Steeler, Baltimore Raven toughness.
I was thinking more like John Elway, because John Elway turned out to be like a great executive when he went out and did it in Denver.
It's an interesting question. So Gary Myers, my buddy Gary, he brought this up in a Twitter, and you know, people slammed him for it, but he's on to something there. Now the thing is, I don't think that Curtis doesn't follow football.
That's what I thought I had heard. I love Curtis, but I thought he didn't even care about football.
But he does. He just doesn't. He's not an analyst. He's not like me. He's not breaking down games. He's not looking at game tape. But he understands the game, and he wants to get involved in the game.
Right.
I don't know if in what capacity, but whether it's as a part owner, or I know he's working currently for a private equity firm.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because the value of these franchises have gotten so ridiculous, I mentioned this earlier, the Jets are fifth on the list. Their value is $6.9 billion.
That's unbelievable.
$6.9
This franchise is so ass backwards, yet their value continues to go up.
Right, so how do you sell that?
Right.
Hey, you want to buy my business? How much is it going to be? $7 billion? Like, it's not attainable. So the only way to do it is with private equity money. Like Guggenheim.
Right, right.
So it's pooled resources. And so I think Curtis getting involved in that capacity would be a huge plus. Because I know he's respected in that over at One Florham Park, One Jet Drive in Florham Park. And he also has a good relationship with Woody.
Mm.
So
maybe he'll be smart enough to make sure Woody doesn't get involved.
Well,
if he can pull that off, let's go. Well,
I don't even think it's that. I think it's just he becomes the one involved,
right?
Even if it is Woody,
right?
It's received differently.
I think you need, and maybe this is something Rex and Tannenbaum did very well when they were here, because Woody, I think, was always involved, but in 2010 and 2011, we were less bothered by it because they won. Right. And they got to back-to-back championship games. So maybe it's having the right people that know how to deal with them and listen to them and nod at them and say, yes, Woody.
Right.
But then you're ultimately doing what you want to do.
Well, it's I know what you want, but I'm going to do it the right way.
Right, right.
So we're going to get to the same spot, but I'm going to do it in a different way. Because
right.
I understand locker rooms and football people.
Right.
Not just... This is my on a whim because I own the joint.
The other uncertainty, though, and Connor Hughes brought this up when he joined us earlier, is that the expectation is Woody Johnson is going to leave. He's going to join the new administration at some point.
Right.
Now, think about the timing on this. Okay, he's not joining the new administration until the winter, until maybe the spring.
Season. The season's over.
The season's over, and the offseason early part will be over, so he will play a big part in hiring the new president, GM, head coach, and then he's gone.
Yeah.
Which I find strange that him and his brother are different. Well, Connor described that.
Right.
They're very different people. So Christopher may not be on the same page as Woody, and Woody's going to hire people and then go away.
Right.
And then Christopher's going to run the team or be the owner of guys he didn't exactly hire. It's a very weird situation. I'd almost say to Woody, I know I can't say this because he's the owner, he can do what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
If you plan on leaving, which is fine.
Right.
If you plan on serving in the new administration, that is fine. Then let the owner who's going to be here for the next 4 years make the decisions.
Well,
doesn't it create an awkwardness when you're not making the decision?
But I think he does. Chris does make the decision. I think maybe I've met Chris, but I know I've chatted with Woody a couple times when we've gone over there, right? When we were over there for our show at the beginning of the season in training camp, I chatted with Woody for a little bit. Chris, I think, is part of the conversation.
Part of the conversation, but sometimes you be part of the conversation but not fully agree on the decision that's being made. If Woody's ultimately making the decision, he may listen to Christopher. Hey, you're a part of the discussion.
Right.
But ultimately, he may not get the guy hired that he wanted. That's where I have worry about, like, the decider and then who's actually running the franchise for the next 4 years.
Yeah, but a lot of that's going to be on who they hire as GM and what the GM's vision is.
Well, I hope
as a GM, you have to come in with a vision.
Of course,
this is what I want this team to look like. This is what offensively I'm planning on doing, and we need to build around the pieces that we have to offensively look like X. Defensively, we're going to look like Y.
Right,
and this is the way that we're going to get there. And having a plan, I think sometimes. Especially after the Aaron Rodgers thing, even if there was a plan, I'm not saying that there wasn't, but even if there was, like it went by the wayside.
Yeah, it went away very quickly.
It was just, all right, Aaron, save us. And you heard it in every word they were saying.
Yes.
From players to coaches to everyone.
And guess what? Not only did Aaron not save you, you're all fired and Aaron is still there. Your call's next, 888-808-1019. Before we get back to your phone calls, a lot of New York Jets and Juan Soto on this busy Tuesday. There is a sporting event tonight that I'm very intrigued by, and I'm curious if you share that intrigue.
Wrestling? I haven't heard you talk about wrestling in a while.
No, it's not WWE. I'm not in love with the whole bloodline where you have to have five guys in the war game match, but I'm only mentioning that because you brought it up. Tonight on TNT, the undefeated Cleveland Cavaliers are taking on the Boston Celtics in an NBA Cup game. Now, the NBA Cup game makes it sort of interesting, but the fact that the Cavs are 15-0 and they're going to Boston to take on the defending NBA champion Celtics.
In a Cup game, no less.
In a Cup game, no less. Who are 11-3 and in desperate of a win in the Cup because Boston lost its first Cup game. But forget the Cup for a second. The undefeated 15-0 Cavs going to Boston to take on the Celtics.
Oh, this is like the best game of the early part of the season.
100%. I don't know how you can write a script for a more sexier early season matchup when you have a team that has not lost taking on the best of the best on the road.
Right.
That's why I find it very interesting.
It is very interesting, but it's also, it's like a preview of what we likely will see in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Whoa! Hold on, Barber.
Hey!
You've been compromised by the net propaganda.
I'm not. I'm just saying.
I didn't even say that.
Let me look at this. There are four teams in the Eastern Conference over 500.
Correct.
Four.
The Knicks and Orlando. Give both credit because they're undermanned, especially Orlando with Banchero
right,
being out.
But the Knicks just happened. Right? It just happened.
But you can't put Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals yet. That was very premature, Barber.
Why not? They got their well coached.
Because it's 15 games.
They play like they care. They had a young team that's playing very well together. Their schedule has been somewhat easy, so you can maybe pump the brakes, but 15-0 is 15-0.
No, they're off to a great start.
No matter how you cut it. And more importantly, it's like they care to be 15-0.
Oh, no, they're trying.
Exactly.
Even the other night, they had a rest night for Donovan Mitchell, and it didn't matter. They went out and pummeled their opponent. What I find really interesting that no one is aware of is we may have an NBA constitutional crisis.
Why is that?
You want to know about it?
Yes, let's hear it.
I got to get ahead of this because it's probably going to be over tonight once the Celtics win. So the Cavs are 15-0. The all-time record for most wins in a row to start a year, the Golden State Warriors. They did it, I think, the second year of Kevin Durant, but they started off the year. Actually, it wasn't the Durant year. I think it may have been the 73 win season. Yeah.
That makes sense because I felt like they never lost.
Yeah, they started the year 24-0. Now, the Cavs are 9 wins away from doing that. The problem is, once the NBA in-season tournament gets to the finals, because all the in-season tournament games count as regular season games.
Right.
Except for
the finals.
The finals. Huh. So hold on a second. Are you telling me the Cavs could literally have a 25-game winning streak, which would break the record, lose the tournament final game, but because it's not a regular season game, their winning streak could continue a few days later?
They're still undefeated?
That's a constitutional crisis.
I didn't even pay attention to this. So it's not on the Lakers record, but
correct.
Like, what happens to that?
That
win?
Game does not count as a regular. It's the only part of the in-season tournament.
What is it technically?
It's just the tournament finals.
An exhibition game?
It's a tournament finals.
But you played a game.
But I'll give you another example of that because that's not the only time this occurs. Right. The play-in tournament. Same thing. It's not the playoffs, but it's not the regular season. It's something in the middle.
Those games just disappear?
They're just its own.
You couldn't even bet player props in New York in that game last year.
Is that right?
Because there was no way to sanction what the hell was going to go on.
So, hear me out on this. Oh, if the Cavs keep winning but lose the tournament finals, what? Then the winning streak just continues?
Right.
That's a constitutional crisis.
But they'll already have beaten it.
Yeah, that does make it better.
It reminds me of a hit streak continuing if you end the season and start the season.
Yes and no.
Here's trolling?
No, I don't think he's trolling. Are you trolling anybody with that?
Is that what I've become here on the show?
Yes. I
don't troll
everything.
You're
definitely trolling somebody.
Who are you trolling? Which Met player had it?
I'm just telling you to like put it out there because most people didn't get it. Like, I didn't get it, but I know you were trolling somebody.
Okay.
So who was it?
I'll swear on everybody living and breathing close to me that was not a troll. I was bringing up what I could try to compare this to.
But you know what? And by the way, it's a good comparison if you're not trolling.
What the hell am I trolling?
I don't know the player
somebody
you're referring
to. Somebody for the Mets that had a hit streak and then started the next year.
I honestly don't know if that happened.
Yeah, like, Lindor probably had
Harrison
one or something.
Bader or something.
No, the Mets would have to be successful at the end of a year for that to happen.
So. That's trolling, by the way. That's not even a great example because your hit streak continues. Now, you could argue, it's 2 years. I don't look at it the same way. The Cavs will have lost the game,
but we're
going to say it doesn't count.
But if you got the same season.
But in the same season.
But this is what I mean, though. If you got to 56 games on that hit streak or whatever, is it DiMaggio's 56? Now I'm losing my mind, right?
Yeah.
He breaks DiMaggio's record. Do you look at that as counting? I think it's the same thing as losing a non-game that doesn't count.
I definitely agree that there's a different angle to the hit streak when it's separated over 2 years. What I'm saying, though, is they will have lost the game, but the league's going to tell us they actually didn't lose because their winning streak
didn't count.
Right. Well, that's something to look forward to down the road, but Cleveland does take on Boston tonight, so I'm sort of intrigued. I'm going to have it on my tablet while I'm at Barclays Center for that big Nets-Hornets NBA Cup game. Can't wait for that.
That'll sting.
Yes. Sting because Hornets, they sting. Let's go to...
I missed that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, that was a real good one. Let's go to Ray in Huntington, New York. What's going on today, Ray?
They lose.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
So, are you guys going to the Boomer and Geo show also? Are you all going to be there?
Sean Morash will be in the building. I'm told, I don't know if it's a surprise, but Sean is a part of the program. Is that a surprise, or am I allowed to say that?
The only surprise will be my shirt will be remained on in this one.
There you go. Well, so, Sean will be there performing for you live if you're there, Ray.
I got front row seat.
Oh, nice. Sean.
Do you want me to take my top off?
No, Sean. No.
No. He says it respectfully. No, we're good.
I'm 62 years old, and I got a big mirror, and when I get out of the shower, I see myself. That's embarrassing enough.
It's tough, man.
It makes a lot of sense. Well, have a good time. It should be a fun night. They always do a great job with that.
So we sell Christmas lights at GPM, and I was just curious, like, what prices. There's so many different prices that guys have out there, because some guys will store your lights, some guys will give you the lights. Sometimes it's cheaper the next year because you already bought the lights.
Are you asking me? All I said earlier was I was finally debating having someone install Christmas lights because I'm so bad at it, and Sean was then telling me how damn expensive it is.
So when you say bad, mm-hmm. what do you mean? Are they all crooked? They don't.
Yeah, they're crooked. They're messy.
Putting them up? Staples or with?
That's the problem. I try to tie them around whatever I'm putting it on. So, like, if I put it on a bush, I really love lights on a bush. I don't know why. It makes me smile when I get home from a long day of work.
I bet it does.
Yes, it does.
Well, I don't understand.
Hi, honey. I'm home. Never mind.
Why are you giggling over there? So I... what? I'm only laughing because you're laughing. I have no idea what's happening.
Stick it down your throat.
Why would you even play? Anyhow. So I try to stick it up on the branches.
Right.
Then I... what?
Stop laughing.
I mean, it was so freaking funny. I'm just talking about my lights. Okay, I'm a 3.5-inch guy. Why? Anyhow, I put it up on the trees, and then I do try to put it on, like, the rail of my, like, steps.
Right.
And the way I do it is I try to tie it up, but it looks like ass. It just looks terrible.
Because it's not even. Not evenly distributed. See, that's why it costs so much money.
No, because the pros know how to do
it. Right, because that detail is what matters.
Yeah.
It's got to look all aligned. All the lights pointed the right way. Everything.
So I didn't realize this until my mom pointed this out. My wife hired somebody to do this in our apartment. Now, it wasn't Christmas lights.
Your apartment?
You've met my wife once, so you haven't had the full experience. She's ridiculous.
Yeah, but it's an apartment. Where are you putting lights
on? So we have a deck, and she wanted, like, those lights that you see sometimes at weddings.
Yeah.
Okay. It was such a difficult job that, first of all, she wanted to do it. I'm like, you're not doing this because you could fall, and I'm not having that. So she paid somebody. It was such a difficult job. This guy quit in the middle of it and didn't charge us.
Are you serious?
Wow. Yeah, this is my wife. You want to come? You want to trade?
Because she was being...
Because her ask was such an impossible ask.
What was so difficult about it? Just putting lights on a deck?
The height of it, the geography of it, or whatever they call that, geometry of it. It was just, this guy's a professional, and he quit in the middle of it and didn't even charge us. The guy was there for like 4 hours. She's like, he'll be here for a half hour. So this is part of why I think they charge so much, because you never know what you're walking into when you get there.
Is there a YouTube video I could watch that teaches me how to put the lights on myself? Because I would love to just get better at it.
You just pull it tight, and I think over clips is the better way to do it because it keeps them from looping and drooping.
Oh, clips. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I clip.
I wish I thought
of
that.
But how the clips, they won't wrap around everything, will they?
Well, I'm talking about the gutters and house line.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about, like, his stairs. Like, that rail is probably too thick for a clip. You know what I mean?
You got to go tight, though.
Can tie it around the ball. But I really want it on the trees and the bushes. I don't know why I'm afraid to say it, because you guys think it's funny. But I like the lights on that, on the greenery, as I like to call it.
Yeah, that's tricky. That's tough.
No, I get you. Let's go to Jeff in Oceanside. What's up, Jeff?
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing today?
We're good, man. What's up?
Excellent. What's up?
All right, so with Soto, you might think I'm crazy, but I'd rather give him a very high short-term deal. Mm-hmm. 6 years, $540
million. 6 years?
You're giving him like $90 million a year, bro.
Correct. I know you can think I'm crazy, but right now you get the best 6 years of his career. He definitely gets another contract. These 10, 12-year deals never work out. They always fall apart. You could win one or two World Series in the 6 years, which makes everything worth it. I think you could sell it to him. What do you guys think?
Yeah,
it's an interesting thought. I mean, it's a ton of money a year.
Well, think about the AAV of what you're giving him.
Right.
And that affects your luxury tax. That affects what you can do in the short term. So,
but aren't you not caring necessarily about your luxury tax? Because aren't you necessarily going to be over it?
You are, but if you're... Okay, yes, the Mets are going to be over the luxury tax in all likelihood. Now, they do have a lot of money coming off the books this year from what they owed Scherzer and Verlander and whatnot. But yes, they're going to be paying the tax. But if you're paying Juan Soto, his idea is basically $90 million a year.
Right.
Basically what he said.
Yeah.
If you're paying Juan Soto an AAV of $90 million, that's on your tax bill. In the short term, when you're trying to build a roster, your payroll is going to be so much higher,
right.
And then the tax is subsequently going to be so much higher that you're writing like a ridiculous check just to save you from what you're scared of 7 years from now.
Yeah, this is it's too much money on one guy because just to fill out your roster, you're going to zoom past it.
And you know what's funny? The Yankees and the Mets, not on the level of Soto, have shown you they'd rather do the opposite. They'd rather give you more years to bring down the AAV. And I'll give you two examples of where both teams have done that.
Because they don't mind the dead money.
Well, they mind it less than the number being so high in the short term when you're trying to win. The Mets did it with Brandon Nimmo, giving him a longer contract than maybe they wanted.
Right.
But they got the AAV down. And you know who the Yankees did it with? DJ LeMahieu. I remember when he signed the contract, and I think we were all in favor of keeping DJ. I know it's worked out terribly. It was a very long contract with the hope that the number's down.
Right.
So I get what you're saying because you're thinking, hey, I don't know what Soto is in 8-9 years. Let me just get him for 6 years. But you're also hurting your ability to do more now. Because while Steve Cohen may be willing to spend, isn't there a point where that tax bill is so insane you're not willing to spend the $5 million for a relief pitcher because the tax makes the $5 million like $30 million?
Yeah,
remember we did that with J.D. Martinez?
Right, it's just not, it becomes not worth it. And then unless J.D. Martinez is having a ridiculous year, which he did for a minute, like it doesn't become worth it.
Right.
So ultimately it's finding value. And I think it's the hardest thing I think in baseball because finding value, for Soto it's easy, but for everyone else, you don't know what kind of value you're getting. It's the whole Glaber thing. It's why Yankee fans are tired of Glaber because you don't know what value you're getting if you from whenever you pay him. So finding the value is hard. The superstar contracts are what they are, but the rest of your team is you got to have the right value. Otherwise, you're blown up and you're so over the luxury tax, it becomes punitive for the owner.
Right, and that's why this short term big money deal on Soto. While in theory it sounds nice,
it's not going to work.
It hurts your ability to win in the short terms. That's the problem.
Yes.
Let's go to Andrew and Lawrence. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, Evan. Hey, Tiki. How you guys doing? What's first good, time on this phone call with you guys. I just wanted to ask Evan something.
Yeah.
You like lights on your bushes?
Yeah. I like to drive home at night and see the lights on the bushes. Yes.
All right, so you don't understand. Now, again, like I'm going to be very appropriate. You don't understand how that sounds funny?
No. Why would it be funny?
Come on.
I want lights on the bushes.
Whisper in his ear and tell him why it's funny.
All right, thank you, Andrew. Whisper into my ear. Why is it funny?
I can't whisper it because
the mics are
open mics.
Hey, Sean, can you give us a Rangers update, okay?
Yeah, so tonight they're going to play the Vancouver Canucks. JT Miller is out tonight, personal reasons for the Canucks, so should open up.
You guys
for
are
offense.
Sick. Oh, wrap guys? Your legs around me, and I'll give you a ride. All right, you guys are sick. I mean, seriously. So immature, everybody I work with. And our listeners, you're all immature.
I can't believe he just got that. It was like 10 minutes ago.
Well, you just explained it to me. We shut the mics off.
I had to explain it to you.
And he was very blunt about it. Like, did you not mess around? Hey.
What's your favorite candy?
Stick that Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
I remember that one.
You know, by the way, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, as much as I love it, I think it's Sweethearts, man. I ordered
bulk. Well, that's because you brought them in.
I said this on the air like a week ago. I wasn't even kidding. I ordered bulk Sweethearts for us because after Halloween, I was like, man, Sweethearts are awesome. My kids got a bunch of Sweethearts. They didn't like it. I had it. It was amazing. So we ordered bulk. We have Sweethearts all over our
dude,
office.
Crush them. Every day, I end up taking a handful.
Bro, how good is it?
And it's just pure sugar.
Oh, is that bad for you?
There's no nutritional value at all.
So you're saying it's not good for
you? It's not, but it is so delicious.
What's your favorite flavor, sirs?
I think the grape one.
There you go. It's my guy.
The grape
one.
Come on.
You gave the right answer. Grape is the only answer.
You don't like grape?
It's not that I don't like it, but the answer on candy is like that is always the red one. Always.
The red one is very good, but it's not number one. I go purple. I go blue. I go red, I go green. The yellow one, not a fan of. I still have it.
It's very lemony.
That's the problem. Well, it's very lemony.
And,
okay.
And you're naming colors.
I have the red one right now.
Yeah. Hmm. You're Tiki chewing it.
Hmm. Yeah, red is good.
Red's very good.
Let's be honest.
Grape's number
it's
one,
cherry.
Though.
It's like there's a good cherryness to it.
I also think there's a little mental thing there with the sweet tart.
Hold on. So I had just had red.
Okay.
Clear my palate.
Tiki's doing palate. A taste test.
It's like caviar.
I love how he has it here with him right now. That's how much sweet tarts I bought.
You know what it is with the grape? It's like powerful.
Yeah.
Like, okay. when you crunch through it,
yeah.
Like, the grape hits you hard. It's like, oh, man. Mm. Yeah.
I got to try this one. I think the sweet tarts are a little bit of an illusion. I think all the flavors actually taste the same,
here's
but our
brains
on them is different. It's a lot like stovetop stuffing flavors.
No, here's why you're wrong. I'm going to prove you wrong.
That's a good call, though, Sean.
Yeah, the savory herbs, the cornbread, the chicken, it's the same thing.
All the same.
That I can't, you may be right. With the sweet tarts, here's why you're wrong. Lately, I've been driving home, and I want sweet tarts because I have it in my car. It's the only time I have the sweet tarts is usually in my car.
Ooh, the blue,
little bit
too.
Of work. The blue's amazing. Blue's number two.
Good too.
Anyhow, goodbye, SNY. Stay tuned for Baseball on Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac. Next on SNY. Here's why you're wrong. So I've had these urges for sweet tarts on my ride home, and you know you can't really look at the colors while you're driving. It's very dangerous. So I take the box and I start like getting one on my tongue, and then I start eating it.
Yeah,
I could tell the colors right away. I don't even need to look. I do blind taste tests of sweet tarts by necessity, and I know the flavor 1,000%.
Well, you're an innovator. I also think the best thing other than flavors is to read the words on the sweet tarts. And I'll leave you with this. I have found the Brooklyn Nets sweet tart. It just simply says grit on it.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ. Thank you very much for that.
That Lord. Warranted a Jesus Christ? Really? It's a holiday season.
You know what the problem is? Well, I apologize for insulting anybody with that. I take the Jesus back. I should not use the name, the Lord's name in vain, so I apologize.
It was with the G-E-E-Z.
Here's my problem. The Brooklyn Nets are 5-9. Can we pipe down? I mean, seriously. Even Loogie was like being so overly complimentary after the Net-Nick games. He's like, oh, they're so gritty, they're so tough. I'm like, dude, they suck. Like, let's have an honest conversation. They suck. They're going nowhere. They're not good.
Bro, I'm going to answer you with another sweet tart. Chill.
I am chill. I'm going to the game tonight. But let's be honest with what they were. Like, did I enjoy them testing the Celtics earlier this season and having a lead and getting it to overtime? Yes. Did sure. I like the clip? Yes. Were they gritty? Was it fun? Was I having a good time? Absolutely. The reality is the reality. They're not good.
Where was this last week?
I was happy last week.
Before they played the Knicks, you said, my team's tanking. Because
they are tanking. Whoa.
No.
I just said that basically.
They're not tanking because they play hard and they play to the final whistle.
The players
suck.
Don't
That's
take.
What you should have said.
Players don't take. Organizations tank.
Right.
That's we all know that.
But you were throwing that out there because if the Nets would have won, you would have needled.
Honestly, this has nothing to do with the Knicks and Nets. This has everything to do with they're not good. Don't give me a sweet tart that says grit. If you want to give me a
sweet
if you want to
no
give me,
we have one that says sassy. That which is your
fine.
Being
the
sassy.
Only
really say grit.
Does it say grit? Okay. The only sweet tart I care that has any relation to the Nets is if it says Cooper Flag. Okay? If it says Cooper Flag, give me the sweet tart.
They also say gullible on.
Oh, I have one that could equal Cooper Flag with games one. This one says math.
The Nets still in the league.
I also have one.
Is that because he goes to Duke?
Well, no. Also, the math, it's going to take in the lottery. And lastly, I have one that represents Tommy's takes during the Lugauer. Edgy.
All right. Quick break.
You also have one that says Colt.
No, I'll look for that one.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.